I'm Mike Fraser, and this is WYSO Today for Wednesday, April 22nd. The city of Dayton has chosen one of its own as the new chief of police. Eric Henderson has been appointed to lead the Dayton Police Department. He is currently deputy chief. He will replace Dayton Police Chief Cameron Afsal, who is leaving for a position in North Carolina. Henderson brings more than 27 years of law enforcement experience to the position. City leaders also note that he has a strong record of executive leadership in public safety. The department has 365 sworn officers and 40 professional staff. As chief of police, Henderson will oversee all operations, including public safety strategy, crime prevention, emergency response, officer development, and community engagement. Henderson will officially take on the duties of chief of police for the city of Dayton on May 7th. American Indian and Alaska Native federal contracting firms are concerned for the future of a small business program that's now being scrutinized. It's called the 8A Business Development Program. Participating firms are being audited after leaders in the Trump administration claim it's an example of wasteful DEI spending. WYSO's Indigenous Affairs reporter, Adriana Martinez-Smiley, reports that Diné Development Corporation attributes its success to 8A.
Diné Development is an enterprise of the Navajo Nation. Its first subsidiary became a member of the 8A program in 2005. Early on, it supported work at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base as a federal contractor, specializing in information technology and cybersecurity. Jennifer Creamer is the chief business officer for the Diné Development Corporation. She says without the 8A program, the company would have never been able to deliver the innovative capabilities they have now.
And that took years to get to the point where we're able to do that. We're able to be forward-leaning and to support our customers in a way that we couldn't, have done without such a successful program to help us get, really our feet under us.
Creamer says the program helped them to be competitive for contracts outside of 8A. 80% of their federal contracts were awarded outside of the program. For WYSO News, I'm Adriana Martinez-Smiley.
Donald Trump has said that he wants to ban no-excuse absentee voting by mail, even though he himself cast a ballot in Florida's primary by mail last month. In 2024, 45% of Ohio voters cast ballots early, and nearly a third of those were mailed in. State House correspondent Karen Kessler reports.
Ohio has allowed no-excuse absentee voting since 2005, but over the years, some Republican lawmakers have said they'd like to dramatically cut it back or even eliminate it. Secretary of State Frank LaRose aligns with President Trump on a lot of issues, but not on ending mail-in voting.
There's always ways to improve that situation. There certainly are some vulnerabilities that exist with that, but the statute that Ohio has in place has been working now for many decades, and that's what we're going to continue to follow.
But LaRose says he has concerns about the 8 states that do universal mail-in voting, where all voters are mailed ballots. A decade ago, LaRose sponsored the law to allow online voter registration, which he says the vast majority of new voters use. Karen Kessler at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
A new report finds that former Ohio State University President Ted Carter Jr. did misuse his position to help the host of a podcast that was recorded in the WOSU studios. And from WOSU, Stu Osborne reports.
The 47-page report released by the university is answering questions a lot of people had about Ted Carter Jr.'s sudden resignation back in March. The report finds Carter sought resources for Crisanthi Vellachos from several entities, both inside and outside OSU, including Jobs Ohio and Anduril. Vellachos had, quote, extraordinary access to Carter, with the pair taking at least 5 trips together and meeting more than 20 times, either in person or online. The report also finds no additional personnel actions are recommended following Carter's resignation and the April 14th resignation of Senior Vice President Chris Kaborik, who's since taken a job as Chief Financial Officer at West Virginia University. Carter was replaced by Ravi Belamkonda, who was appointed by the Board of Trustees without a broader search. In a statement Tuesday, Belamkonda says, quote, "We are grateful for the careful and thorough work of these offices over the last several weeks."
And that was Stu Osborne reporting. Middletown residents are partnering with environmental and health advocates this week to talk about local pollution in their community. Sierra Club Miami Group, and the University of Cincinnati Collaboration on Community Health will co-host the event. Its organizers will discuss air, water, and soil pollution in the local community. The group will also present some research findings. Middletown is home to two large industrial users, Cleveland Cliffs and SunCoke Energy. It'll be held on Thursday, April 23rd at the Triple Moon Coffee Company in Middletown from 6 to 8 p.m., and there will be free food. Showers and thunderstorms came through parts of our area this morning, but they've since moved out, and we should have a nice day today with a high getting into the upper 70s. Expect a fair amount of sun. Temperatures back in the 80s for Thursday with more partly sunny skies. Rain chances return on Friday. And that's WYSO Today for Wednesday, April 22nd. I'm Mike Fraser.